Let's go, please, to 2 Corinthians 5:17. That's always my launching point, because there's a principle in there that's extremely foundational to who we are in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, King James, New King James Version, I mean, reads, therefore, why don't you read along with me? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And that's very important to understand that, because it doesn't matter what happened to you in the past, you're in Christ. All things have become new. So, well, what about the things that I did after I received Jesus Christ? You know, I may have done some stuff. That's why Jesus had 1 John 1:9 written. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So either way, you're covered. Either way, you're covered. You have nothing to be ashamed about. You have nothing to hold you back. Now, that being said, God has shown me over the last few weeks that there's a plague that's spreading among believers at an astonishing rate. And what's interesting about it is that we're allowing it to happen. Because we're not aware, we're really not aware that it's happening. See, too many of us are being negatively influenced, and we're tolerating it because we think it's the devil. And after all, that's what the devil does, right? But I found out, and I'm going to show you in the scripture, that it's not the devil. He's a convenient excuse. Pastor Clinton said once, I almost feel sorry for the devil because he gets blamed for everything, most of which he doesn't do. Look at 1 John 3. Because I want you to understand that the devil is not the problem. 1 John 3, verse 8, and this is in the Passion Translation. And God has me using different translations, not to impress anyone, but just some translations say things clearer than others. And so we're using translations that God believes will understand easier. Than I don't speak King James English. It says, but the one who indulges in a sinful life is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. Listen to this part, though. The reason the Son of God was revealed was to undo and destroy the works of the devil. So when we understand that scripture, it doesn't matter what he does. Jesus is here to undo it and destroy it. So it can't be the devil, because whatever he tries is undone and destroyed. Luke 10:19, most of you know this is one of my favorite passages in the classic Amplified Bible. Jesus said, behold, I have given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions. I love this next part. And physical and mental strength and ability over all the power the enemy possesses. And nothing shall in any way harm you. So Jesus said he gave us physical and mental strength and ability over anything the devil's got. So since that's true, how can I be controlled or influenced for someone over whom I have physical and mental strength and ability? So it can't be the devil. Look at James 4. Back in the Passion Translation. Verse 7. So then, surrender to God stand up to the devil and resist him, and he will turn and run away from you. Stand up. How do you stand up to someone? I said, Salim, would you help me a minute? If I'm a negative influence, Salim's in Christ, and I come approach him, he just stands up to me. And it doesn't matter how much I get in his face, he just stands his ground. Mm-hmm. And I realize he ain't moving, I better get away from him. Thank you, Salim. Give him a hand for helping me. He didn't know I was going to do that. Okay. So when you stand up to the enemy and he flees from you, how can he influence you? You're influencing him. Your actions are saying to him, buddy, I suggest you leave. Quick, fast, and in a hurry. And he will if you stand up to him. And now, he's going to do, I'm nice and calm and composed. But the devil, he's not going to just stand there and smile at you. He's going to stand there posturing. He's going to be talking, what do young folks call it now? He's going to be talking smack to you. Okay. We used to call it ranking. They call it name call. I don't know what it's going to turn into. But right now, it's he's talking smack. And the devil's doing that, trying to convince you that he's all that. He ain't. Okay? He ain't. So he can't force us. So the question is, since it's not the devil, who is it? Or what is it? How many of you would like to know? Well, I'm out of time, so come next week and I'll... No. No. 61 years ago, one of my favorite singers was Nat King Cole. And I'm going to read to you the lyrics from one of his songs. The very thought of you, and I forget to do the little ordinary things that everyone ought to do. I'm living in a kind of daydream. I'm happy as a king. And foolish though it may seem to me, that's everything. The mere idea of you, the longing here for you, you'll never know how slow the moments go till I'm near to you. This song is saying to us that just by our thoughts, we're not paying attention to reality and we don't care because of what we're thinking about. Just because of our thoughts, we see everything through the eyes of our thoughts. We don't see things how they really are. We see them based on what we're thinking about. That's why I wonder why some people, they always say things negative. They're always thinking negatively. And no matter how you try, they're going to see things from their spin because of their thoughts. He said, the more I think about you, the more I want to get close to you. So as we keep thinking about things, we want to become them. That song is letting us know how we can be manipulated by our thoughts. And the scriptures back it up. Look at Proverbs 23. This message is called The Very Thoughts of You. Proverbs 23, verse 7, first part of it, the King James Version. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. I know they were talking about, a different application, but a principle is a principle is a principle. And it worked. 2 + 2 is always going to be 4. No matter how you slice it, it's going to be 4. We need to understand that the principles in the Bible work. Whether they're used in one application or another, if it's a principle, if it's a fundamental, it's going to work. And this fundamental principle is, as we think in our hearts, so are we. We're going to become the sum total of our thoughts, period. period. Our thoughts have the power to cause us to change the way we think, to change our perspective, to change everything, just by our thoughts. How many of you ever heard the phrase, I think, therefore I am? You know what it was talking about? This philosopher, I'm not going to try and say I think, therefore I am in Spanish, because I tried, I wrote it phonetically, and it doesn't roll off my tongue. But Rene Descartes said it because he was really trying to justify his own existence. And he figured that his thoughts are the only thing that can't be faked. If you're thinking it, it's your thought. You're thinking it. I think, therefore I am. And he said that the brain is easy to fool. The only way a person knows what he experiences of reality, that his experience of reality is the truth, is by trusting in the sensory inputs of his own brain. Well, we already know that's off because the Bible says trust in the Lord with all your heart. It doesn't say trust in the sensory inputs of your brain. But Descartes thought, you know, that if I want to know if I'm a real person, I'm going by my thoughts. Because if I wasn't real, I wouldn't have thoughts. So he said, I think, therefore, I am. Well, I found that there's some truth to that for us as believers in that, according to the scripture, as we think in our heart, so are we. We think, therefore we are. Are what? Are what we've been thinking about. And it's important that we understand that because that will change not only the way we think, but it'll change the way we live, it'll change the way we handle everything. Because it's all thought-driven. It's all thought-driven. God knew man was going to have issues with his thoughts. He said back in Genesis, before he told Noah to build the ark, he said, the thoughts of men, the thoughts and intents of man's heart is evil continually. So God knew, he said, okay, my children are going to have an issue with thoughts. So he knew he had to give us some strategies about thoughts. But let me ask you a question. What's the difference between having a good day and having a bad day? What's the difference between liking and disliking? What do you think about it? No matter what happens, if you think you like it, you're going to like it. There's some television programs I like, my wife doesn't, and vice versa. It's because of her thoughts about the show and my thoughts about the show. Whether or not you have a good day or a bad day is dependent on how you feel and what you're thinking about what you're going through. If you're thinking this is horrible, guess what type of day you'll have? Okay? If you go around thinking, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it, you'll have a better day. You'll have a better day. One of the things, as I looked over at Sandy Lynn, the thought came in. She didn't do anything wrong. Stop thinking what she did. Okay. But she's a student. And sometimes they'll select classes based on what other people have said about instructors. Right? They'll say, oh, no, don't take this one because they're going to give you all. And now if that's the only class left and you have to take it, what are your thoughts going into that classroom? You're going to be like, I hate this class. You haven't taken one yet. Okay. But your thoughts kicked in and now you've already concluded this is going to be a horrible experience. The devil had nothing to do with it. It's our own thoughts. Now, one thing that Descartes said that I found very interesting. I'm jumping between notes, so just bear with me, please. It's in the green stuff. I want to look at it and I put in green. Well, when that happens, I read over it, so I'll just tell you. One of the things he concluded is that regardless of where the thought comes from, it's still your thought. People say, well, the devil did. No, he may put thoughts out there into the universe, but the minute you take it, it becomes your thought. It's no longer his thought. It's your thought. It's no different than if I put this Bible out there and said, whoever wants to grab this, it's yours. And you reach out and you grab the Bible. It's your Bible. And he can do with the Bible what he wants to because it's now his. Doesn't matter where it came from. It was out there and I took it in. Now I have complete ownership of it. We have complete ownership of our thoughts. Thank you. And give him a hand also. Okay. And it's something that we need to understand because it brings us back to Proverbs 23. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So it's our thoughts and not the devil. A broken heart is not caused by something someone close to you did. It's caused by how you feel about what they did. Depression. And even folks, I'm not being insensitive. I'm trying to be freeing. Okay? But even PTSD is caused by thoughts that you're having about what you went through. So if we learn how to change the way we think, if we learn how to grab control of our thoughts, our lives will be better, much better, and we'll be able to stay on course. We'll be able to stay focused. That's why, and here's where the enemy comes in, that's why, you know, he's stirring up the pot, you know, trying to get people to think about other things or things other than what they're supposed to be doing as believers. Trying to put other thoughts out there, and we're grabbing on to the wrong thoughts. And just blaming the devil but not doing anything about the thoughts is wrong. And one of the reasons we're doing that is because we're not aware that it's our thoughts. And if we don't think it's our thoughts, we don't think we can change them. But we can. We can. We had, for the ministry, had, you know, some things happened last year. We had over a dozen members go home to be with the Lord, and other things have happened, and some people had some thoughts about it. Some said, this is where I am, I'm sticking it out. Others, they needed to go somewhere else. They said, well, obviously God's not there anymore. That's what the devil wanted you to think, but you didn't have to choose to think that. You know, and there's some things I can't afford to think because I'm one of the pastors. So I have to think the same way God tells me to think, period. But God knew that thoughts were going to be an issue for man. So he said, okay, let me give man some, you know, some strategies. Look at 2 Corinthians. Because not only does this give us a strategy, but it tells us something about thoughts. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 10. I'm going to read verses 3 to 5, but 5 is the verse I want to get to. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the tearing down of strongholds. Verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, listen to this, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now think about it. First of all, it doesn't say some of the thoughts. It says capture every thought. I'm going to tell you in a few minutes why he said every thought. But the scripture says something else. If it tells you to capture every thought, it has to mean that you must have power over thoughts. Otherwise, how could you capture it? It didn't say chase down your thoughts, which means you don't have to go running after it. It says capture every thought. So when that thought, when the thought comes, you have to grab hold of it. And do what? You need to analyze it. I had a virus in my computer. As a matter of fact, it's still there. I thought I got rid of it last night. But at least the software is working. When it shows up, it immediately captures it. And then it does something. It puts it into quarantine. Now, when you put it into quarantine, it doesn't go away, but it can't affect anything. It just stays there by itself, unproductive, can't do what it was intended to do. Well, remember, Satan comes but for to steal, kill, and destroy. His intentions is to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came, so he had life. So Jesus came, and what Satan's intentions were got quarantined. Can't affect you. And God is saying, take your thoughts, every thought, and put it into quarantine. Because you have to know what that thought is. You need to know what that the intention of that thought is. And I'm going to show you before we leave, I'm going to show you what you need to measure that thought. But I did some research as to why God put so much emphasis on thought. And I came up with an astounding truth. According to the Laboratory of Neuroimaging at the University of Southern California, the average person has about 48.6 thoughts per minute. That adds up to 70,000 thoughts a day. 70,000 thoughts a day. And to me, one source is never enough. So I kept looking. In Psychology Today, they did a study, and they estimate that the average brain has anywhere from 25,000 to 50,000 thoughts a day, but listen to this statistic. 70% of them are negative. 70, according to Psychology Today, 70% of the thoughts you have every day are negative. And now you can't wake up in the morning and say, well, this thought's going to come and this thought's going to come and, well, this one's going to be negative, this is a good one. No, you're going to do that on the job. This is on-the-job evaluation. This is happening just like you breathe, you take breaths, and it just happens. Because the thought comes in, you have to do something with it. And what you do with it is going to be based on what's inside you. Because when that thought comes in, the first thing it's going to encounter is what's in your spirit, and that's going to be the judge. Your spirit will say, quarantine. Stay there. Or your spirit will tell your brain, oh no, you can act on this because this is in line with who you are in Christ. But we, now think of it, if we believe the Department of Neuroimaging, and because they say that there's 70,000 thoughts and 70% of them are negative, you have 49,000 negative thoughts bombarding you every day. Every day. And just thinking about it are generating thoughts. It's like, Lord, how do I get through the day with all this? we're going to tell you God's not going to leave us there because he knows, as we think in our hearts, so are we. So let's look at Romans 12. And this is, I'm in the God's Word translation. And again, you know, the Holy Ghost will say things, reveal things to me when I'm studying. And I tell him, all right, there has to be a translation of the word somewhere that supports what you told me. Because I don't want the people to think this is just my opinion. Because their opinion is just as good as my opinion because it's an opinion. Okay. But Romans 12, verse 2, the God's Word translation says, don't become like the people of this world. Instead, change the way you think. Then you will always be able to determine what God really wants, what's good, pleasing, and perfect. But the first thing he said is don't become like the people of this world. One of the issues is we're too much like the people of this world. And so we're not properly navigating through what's carnal, what's spiritual. Because our thoughts are too far into carnal. We have to learn how to keep our thoughts into spiritual because the carnal thought will consider. The carnal thought will rationalize. The carnal thought will say, well, it's not so bad. I could see how that might work. That, folks, there were, you know, we hear about the Christian martyrs in the early church. We don't hear about the ones that refused to be martyred. And I'm sure they had good reason. And, you know, I try and picture how I would be if I lived back there. I don't know because I wasn't back there. But it just in thinking about how I am now, you know, and how I'm thinking then, you could I could see people rationalizing. How can I spread the word of God if I'm dead? No, I don't know him. You know, there's some people that did things like that, that their intention wasn't to be cowards. You know, they actually thought, well, being alive and preaching is better than being dead and rejoicing. You know, I mean, I could see some people thinking that, and I'm not going to say they should have or they shouldn't have. But this word tells us, don't become like the people of the world. Instead, change the way you think. Now, again, if God is telling us to change the way we think, we must be able to do it. Because he wouldn't say change. He said, change the way you think. Watch this, Father, when they start changing. No, he doesn't do that. He's going to tell you to do what you're equipped to do. And before he gives you the instruction, he equips you. And then says, now do this. And faith comes into play where you believe you can do it. You believe it's God saying it. You believe you can do it. So guess what? You go for it. You go for it. It says capture every thought. So thoughts can't be more powerful than you. They cannot. God said, I know the thoughts I have for you. He said, and their thoughts to prosper you and not harm you. That's what God said. I know the thoughts that I have towards you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. My thoughts give you an expected end. So I'm in thinking about that, I'm like, all right, if these are God's thoughts about me, I need to align my thinking with what God said that he's thinking about. Because I'm his son. I'm his child. And if he says his thoughts are for good and not for evil, then I really know that I want to get his thoughts because I want the good. I don't want the evil. And he's giving me a way. And here's one of the ways. Philippians 4. Everyone say, this is just one of the ways. because we're going to talk about some more in weeks to come. I'm going to read this in the King James Version and again in the Passion Translation. King James Version says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise," and then what are our instructions? "Think on these things." So he's telling us when those thoughts come in, you need to lay them aside and find out if they're true, if they're honest, if they're just, if they're pure, if they're lovely, if they're of good report, if there's virtue in it, if there's praise. He said, "Yep, that's what I'm going to think about." And these other thoughts over there, "No, but what about me? What about me? What about you?" The scripture Corinthians says that we can capture that thought and make it obey Christ. So you tell it, when you get in line with what I just read, then we'll consider you. Until then, stay in solitary confinement. And it has to go. Folks, your thoughts cannot rebel against you. You want to write that down. Your thoughts cannot rebel against you. You decide, and only you decide, what your thoughts are going to be. No one else can decide that for you. I can't. God can't. I mean, he's physically able to, but because of the way what he put in place, he can't. He's empowered us to do it. I know a little bit, even that's too much. I know extremely little about repairing automobiles. Okay, yeah, I know how to change a battery. Yes, I know how to change a flat tire. You know, and I know how to change oil. I don't know how to tear down an engine or a transmission or anything like that. So if I make a choice, if something goes wrong with our vehicle and I make a choice to take it to the manufacturer, because I don't go to, you know, Pep Boys or anybody. We go to the one who made it. And so I don't go to the manufacturer and give him my car and then stand there and tell him, "No, do this, do that, do the..." He's the one that made it. I take it to him. I go home, and they tell me it's ready. I go and pick it up and expect it to be done. See, your thoughts can't do that. You can't tell that thought, "No, you're quarantined," and it's going to come and go, "No, please let me out. I promise to be good. I'm going to do..." Or it can't just say, "Look, I don't care what you say. I'm coming out." It can't do that. Your thoughts are 100% under your control. Always was. This isn't something new. Always was. Adam and Eve didn't understand that. So they grabbed that thought and ran with it. Believers haven't understood that, so they grabbed the thoughts and they run with it. The Passion Translation says, "So keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind, and fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising him always." So I got to keep them fixed on one thing while being fastened to something else. And if I do that, or when I do that, any thought that comes into my thinking will immediately be compared to this. And if it doesn't line up quarantine, and that's where you stay until you make it, until you decide to change and get into obedience with what Christ says. Until that time, you're staying in quarantine where you can't have any effect on anybody, especially me. But if you don't do that, you'll find yourself tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And not just spiritual winds of doctrine. You'll be tossed to and fro by every, as this country, as this world is being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And you have folks running behind it. They don't know any better, but those of us that do know better should act like it. Remember, you'll never have a thought that can overtake you. And remember, I've said this before, but again, God showed me a scripture that really made it, I think, made it crystal clear. God will not allow us to be tempted above that which we're able to handle. Let me read that to you in the Passion Translation. We all experience times of testing, which is normal for every human being. But God will be faithful to you. He will, listen to this. I got excited when I read this. He will screen and filter the severity, the nature and timing of every test or trial you face so that you can bear it. So that you can bear it. So out of those 49,000 negative thoughts coming at, God is going to screen them so the ones that hit you, you can handle. But it also tells you how to handle. And each test is an opportunity to trust him more. For along with every trial, God has provided for you a way of escape that will bring you out of it victoriously. When those thoughts attack, if you trust in God and let your thoughts be on what he says is good and perfect and admirable and pure, he'll show you how to come out of that storm of thoughts victoriously. So you can bear it. God's faithfulness and grace will limit the severity of every test and prevent you from being tested beyond your ability to cope. So that means your thoughts can never overwhelm you. They should never overwhelm you. Unlimited grace is available for every believer who faces hardship, temptations, and seasons of difficulty. That's another what I call empowering passage, even though this is a footnote, a commentary, because this is telling me, in addition to telling me I'm going to go through it, it's telling me that they're going to come. So I can get myself prepared before it happens. One of the things that I never understood through all my school years, on Monday, every Monday, we had a spelling pretest. 10 words, 15 words, whatever it is. And it got marked, you know, and sometimes you see 10 out of 15 or 5. But then on Friday, you can get tested again on those same words. And one time, I didn't get 100. And then I thought about it. I said, wait a minute. I know on Monday exactly what they're going to ask me on Friday. And so I said, so how come I'm not giving the right answer when I have the right answers on Monday? And I have Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And I said, no, I need to study these words so when the test comes on Friday, I get all of the answers right because I've been given them beforehand. We've been given the answers beforehand. That's why the scripture says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not be ashamed, because you are rightly dividing the word of truth. God is, he's telling us things are going to come. And it, remember what he said in John? I'm telling you so that in me you will have perfect peace and confidence. Then he goes on to say, in the world you will have tribulation. So when tribulation comes, stop falling apart. Jesus said, this is going to happen. Yeah, but what he said, what did he do about it? He said, I've overcome the world. I've taken away its power to harm you. So that means we already have the ability to walk through things without being harmed. Now, he didn't say that it's not going to feel that it'll always feel comfortable. But what he said was, he will always show us the path to victory. So we go through it in victory, not in doubt, not weary, not beaten up. We go through it in victory because we have control of what we think about what we're going through. First of all, we're afraid to go to the doctor and get a physical. We call it faith, but it's not. It's really, it's not faith. Especially if something's been bothering you, you just don't want to know. So doctor goes and he examines, and you know, they poke and they prod. They go, you know what? I want you to just get a scan so I can rule out. And he may name something. You don't hear rule out. You hear, he wants me to get a scan because he felt a tumor. Those are your thoughts. And you get into a cold sweat. And you won't go. You call a pastor. You call your prayer warriors. You'll contact the deacons. And they're praying with you. And they're telling you, just go. And just trust God. Just go. And then you go. And you have the scan. And the doctor says, you know, to rule out, maybe we'll do a biopsy. I'm done. I'm done. The thought's there. He thinks I have cancer. And then what do? We don't think about what God's word says. We look up cancer and start reading symptoms. And we start reading, yeah, it feels like that too, you know. And we make ourselves a wreck, and next thing we know, we're depressed. We're depressed. Devil's attacking me. No, he's not. Jesus said we're going to go through things. But he said he's already overcome the world. So if there's something in the world, and Jesus has overcome the world, then whatever's in the world can't do a thing to me. If I don't let it. But I'm the one in control. And I control it by how I think about it. I control it by how I think. That's why God said, change the way you think. Capture that thought. Because that thought is not from God. Do you understand? 70,000 thoughts a day are going to run through your head. Or I should say that are going to be out there. Whichever ones you grab become yours. And now whatever happens because of it is your fault. It's not the devil. Let's take him out of the pit. And the reason why it's important, I keep saying that, because we keep addressing the devil, and if he's not the problem is going to remain. So we have to find out what's the real issue. If your left leg is broken, you don't want the doctor to put a cast on your right leg. You want to put on the leg that needs the help. And so since we're understanding that it's our thoughts that are causing the majority of our issues, We need to start looking at how we change our thoughts. I was going to say something else, but I just saw the clock go 0, 2, 0, 1, 0. So I have to give you some more next week. So you got to come back next Sunday so I can give you part two. I don't know how many parts they're going to be, but we're going to keep going until we finish. Is that okay? I mean, not today, but we're going to stay on this until we finish because it's just too important. We think our way into so much trouble. We think our way into so much confusion, and then we become frustrated because we don't understand that it's our thoughts bringing us in, and we feel trapped because we don't know how to get out. Well, all we have to do is change the way we think and capture every thought. That means don't you try to determine on your own what's good and what's not, because some things may be camouflaged. Anybody ever hear of the Trojan horse? Okay, so we need to, that's why I said capture every thought and let the Holy Spirit do what he's supposed to do. Because we filled ourselves with him. We filled ourselves with God's word. Pastor Clinton taught us, he said he had a friend whose job was to identify counterfeit bills. And Pastor Clinton asked him, you know, the way he said, my God, how do you figure that out? All the different ways they counterfeit bills. The person said, I never look at a counterfeit bill. I study the real thing. He said, that's all I study. I study every aspect, every detail of the real thing. So when a counterfeit comes along, it sticks out like a neon sign. That's why we have to keep, what did Joshua tell us? Meditate on the word day and night with a purpose, observing to do all that's written. Now, some of us meditate day and night, but we forget the second part. We don't observe to do all. That just means seeing how that fits into what you're doing. That's what it's saying. Look at the word and see if your life lines up with it. Not, okay, how can I fit the word into my life? No, the word is the word, and we need to adjust our lives to conform to the word. Well, the first thing that has to happen is we have to think that God's word is supreme. Because if we think something else is supreme, guess what? That's what we'll focus on. We don't want any Nat King Coles in here. when you say the very thought of you, you're talking to God. And you see his face on every flower, his eye on every star. The very thought of you, yes, the very thought of you, my God. No, I'm not singing it. Amen. Do you understand? I'm going to unhook because I think you have enough to chew on and think about for today. But we're going to talk about the ways, we're going to look at the ways, you know, some of our Old Testament saints handled thoughts. We're going to look at ones who did it well. We're going to look at ones who didn't do it so well, you know, because we can learn from both. But I'm going to take my time with this because it's too important. Because once we control our thoughts, everything else will start to change. Amen? Amen? Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, as we said earlier. But we're thanking you right now, Father, because we got wisdom. But we heard your word, and in your word, it's filled with wisdom. Now we're asking you to give us understanding. Because you said in the parable of the sowers, if you hear the word, and we've heard the word, But if we understand it not, then the enemy can come and snatch away that which was thrown in our hearts. And we don't want the precious word that we've heard today to be snatched out of our hearts. So we thank you for giving us understanding of what you shared with us today. Thank you for with the understanding you've given us application. Because every moment of every day we have thoughts. And every moment of every day we make choices based on the thoughts that we're having. We want to make right choices, so that means we need to have right thoughts. So we thank you now, Father, for giving us the understanding of how we capture thoughts, the understanding of how we think on those things that are good and lovely and of good report, as you shared in your word. How we think on those things. We thank you for giving us that understanding. Because ultimately, Father, our goal is to do your will. That's our goal. And we want our thoughts to line up with your thoughts. And through your Holy Spirit and our faith in you, we'll get it done. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 One of the things I'm going to share with you about next week, you can read and meditate on it. The scripture says, but we have the mind of Christ. But we have the mind of Christ. So whatever Christ thinks, and we have his mind, we can think. We'll talk a little bit more about that next week.